Today's shir is Masechta Sota Daf Lamed Ches. We will begin on Daf Lamed Zayin on the Beis at the Mishnah, two lines from the bottom. We begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach, the sugya of Birkas Kohanim. Says the Mishnah, Birkas Kohanim Ketzad. How exactly is Birkas Kohanim performed? As the Sefer Chinuch teaches us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave certainly the Kohanim a mitzvah to give us the Birkas Kohanim. The reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he explains, did it in that fashion. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to bless us, he could bless us directly. What does it have to be through Kohanim? So he explains, because we want to, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants specifically that the bracha should come through some effort. It shouldn't come without any effort. The Kohanim have to give the bracha. The Yisraelim have to prepare themselves for receiving the bracha. And therefore we could value and appreciate the bracha more. In fact, there's even a machloikus rishonim, if there's certainly, as we're going to learn in the Gemara Mitzvah Shem, a mitzvah on the Kohanim to do Birkas Kohanim, maybe up to three mitzvahs involved in doing the Birkas Kohanim. Is there a mitzvah on the Yisraelim to receive Birkas Kohanim? The Ritva seems to say that there's a mitzvah for Yisraelim to receive the bracha. Many rishonim don't hold that way. One of the nafkaminas lahalocha, if there's a mitzvah for the Yisraelim to take the bracha, would be, is a Yisrael supposed to specifically come and move himself to an area where he will be in line to take the bracha? And I saw a minig, and I even saw such a shul once in Eretz Yisrael, where they have a section called the Birkas Kohanim section. Why is that called the Birkas Kohanim section? Because these people particularly bought seats that they were in direct line from where the Kohanim was standing. And those seats had special value to them because the Yisraelim want to be specifically in an area where the Kohanim will be able to, they can receive the Birkas Kohanim. So says the Mishnah, Birkas Kohanim Ketzad, B'Medina Omer Oysoi Shloish Brachas. In the Medina it should be said, has three separate brachas. V'rech Hashem Yishmerecha, is one bracha. Yor Hashem Panav Eilecha V'Yichunecha, was the second bracha, and Yisa Shempanav Eilecha V'yosem L'cha Shalom is the third bracha. Not only, so certainly where there are people available to say Omein, as we're going to discuss after each bracha, the Kohanim have to stop for us to be able to say Omein. But say the Mefarshim, that even where there are no Yisraelim answering, we're going to discuss such a situation in Mitzvah Shem the Gemara, in anywhere outside of the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohanim are obligated to stop and make a break between each of these brachas. Or the Mikdash, in the Beis HaMikdash, it was said as bracha achas, as one long bracha. The Mefarshim point out clearly in our Mishnah, the definition of Mikdash means the Beis HaMikdash. Medina means anywhere outside of the Beis HaMikdash, which is Rashi's typical explanation of Mikdash and Medina throughout Shas. The Rambam, who usually considers Mikdash all of Yerushalayim, clearly cannot define it that way in our Mishnah. And in fact, it's the source of a question on the Rambam. If in our Mishnah we see that Mikdash means only the Beis HaMikdash, why shouldn't we say that that's the definition everywhere else? The Mikdash Omer Hashem Kiksavai. In the Mikdash, when the Birkas Kohanim was conducted, the people said it. They said the Shem HaMefayrish. In Medina, it was said B'Kinuyav. It wasn't said with the whole Shem Hashem. It was only Shem Admus. As we will learn, there's a machloikus rishonim. If in the Beis HaMikdash one chose to say the Birkas Kohanim without the Shem HaMefayrish, is that acceptable? Machloikus rishonim. In Medina, Kohanim Noisen as Yudeim Kenekik Kesfeim. In the Medina, when the Kohanim raise their hands, they raise it only up to their shoulders. Or in Mikdash, Agabi Rasheim, but in the Beis HaMikdash, they raised it all the way up to their head. Most Paiskim, like the Behuda, Avni Nezer, all say that if a Kohen cannot conduct himself with Birkas Kohanim with raising his hands and spreading his fingers, he should not do Birkas Kohanim. The Shvus Yaakov disagrees. He says that if a Kohen can't do it that way, it's still acceptable, but we Paskin like the Noda Behuda and Avni Nezer. There's also interesting machloikis harishoinim. Our Mishnah says that in the Kohanim, not in the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohanim Hejoitim, only raise their hands up to their shoulders. What would be the halacha if a kohen chooses to raise his hand higher? He doesn't only he's prepared to raise his hand all the way up. May he or may he not? The Ravid says he may. The Zeruah says no, he may not. The Migdash Agabar Shayim, Chutz Mekohen Gadol, the Kohen Gadol, even in the Beis Migdash when he does Birkus Kahanim, Einam Magbias Yadav Lamalam in the Tzitz, he doesn't raise his hands above the Tzitz, because the Tzitz has on it the words Kodesh LaHashem, and therefore it's inappropriate that he should put his hands that high up. In fact, I saw that this is the reason, we know that Rashi says in the beginning of Parshas Baaloischa, Baaloischa Saneirois, that there was a step in front of the menorah, where Aaron would stand when he lit the menorah. And the question is, the menorah wasn't that high that Aaron couldn't light it without standing on a step stool. Why was there a need for a step stool? The answer is, if Aaron would have not had a step stool, when he would light the menorah, he would have to raise his hands that high, above the tzitz. And our Mishnah is teaching us that a kohen is not allowed to raise his hands, the kohen gadol is not allowed to raise his hands above the tzitz. That's why they had a step stool in front of the menorah. And in fact, the Mefarshim say, the Paiskim say, that a Jew is never allowed to raise his hands. The only time a Jew is allowed to raise his hands is only for Birkus Kahanim, for Tefillah. That's what the Mishnah means, only in these very specific circumstances, but it's highly inappropriate for a Jew to raise his hands. So the Rishonim ask an obvious question. He was saying as follows. The Kohen Hedyot, when he does Birkus Kahanim, he raises his hands all the way up, above, up to his hands, up to his head, certainly in the Migdash. The Kohen Gadol, he's wearing the tzitz, so we don't allow him to raise his hands that high. But they wore tefillin all day. The tefillin has the Shem Hashem so many more times than the tzitz. So if we're concerned that the Kohen Gadol shouldn't raise his hand, because it shouldn't be above the tzitz, why are we not worried about the tefillin? So one answer is that the tefillin, although it has the Shem Hashem so many more times, are covered. The tzitz is not covered. The Shem Hashem is totally exposed. Another teretz that I saw is that the tzitz, is that the Kohanim Hajoitim didn't wear tefillin when they worked in the Beis Hamikdash. And since they didn't wear tefillin when they worked in the Beis Hamikdash, there is no concern that their hands raise above the tefillin. A third teretz is, because as we're learning in our Mishnah, we want to differentiate, our Mishnah and Gemara will teach us, that there's a difference between the Birkus Kohanim and the Beis Hamikdash, and the Birkus Kohanim outside the Beis Hamikdash. How do we show that difference? That in the Beis Hamikdash, they don't raise their hands. They do raise their hands, and outside that they don't. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Af kohen gadol magbi yadav lamalam netzitz. Even the kohen gadol, says Rabbi Yehuda, to raise his hands for the purpose of Birkus Kahanim all the way up, even though it's above the tzitz. Shenemar v'yis arnes yadav ala om v'yivarchim. So the machlok is how to understand this last line. Tosfos Yontif explains that this last line has nothing to do with the opinion of Yehuda. The Mishnah is going back. We're saying that when you do duchening, you have to raise your hands. Where do we know that you have to raise your hands from? From the pasuk v'yisa arnes yodav. That's how the Tosfos Yontif learns. Other achroinim explain that this pasuk is part of Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda says that even the Kohen Gadol has to raise his hands all the way up. How do I know? Because the pasuk says the Yisa Arnes Yadav, and it doesn't say only up, only below the tzitz. It says he raised his hands all the way up. Doesn't make a difference if he was wearing the tzitz or not. He's allowed to raise his hands, and therefore this is part of Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Tan Rabbanan. So the Braisa says Kohen Sevarchu. The pasuk says Kohen Sevarchu Beloshen HaKodesh. The Birkus Kahanim should only be Beloshen HaKodesh. So before we go further, the Mefarshim ask, the entire sugya Birkus Kahanim comes into our perek, because our perek began with discussing which halachic issues have to be specifically in Loshen Kodesh, and which are in any language, and Birkus Kahanim is one such subject that has to be Beloshen HaKodesh. So why doesn't our Mishnah mention that then, that Birkus Kahanim should be in Loshen HaKodesh? Isn't that the whole reason it came into our perek? So Mefarshim answer, because the halacha of Birkus Kahanim being in Loshen HaKodesh is only in the Beis HaMikdash, outside of the Beis HaMikdash, Birkus Kahanim could be in any language, so it's not a hard and fast rule, so it wasn't put into the Mishnah. So Tana Rabbanan Kohen Sevarchu, B'Loshen HaKodesh. At the time of B'Loshen HaKodesh, or in a B'Chaloshen, perhaps in any language, Nemekan Kosev Arhu, say the Rabbanan. Regarding Birkas Kohanim, the Torah says Kosev Arhu. Regarding the brachos and hagrizim and harevel, which we have been discussing so much, the pasuk says elul yamdu levarachas am mala halon. Just like b'hagrizim and harevel, it had to be specifically b'loshan hakodesh. Afkan, it has to be b'loshan hakodesh. Yehudaima heinut tzaruch. We don't have to rely on gzeirus shava. Rather, the pasuk says areyu oimer koi at sheyomer b'loshan hazeh. It has to be koi, as the Torah says it specifically in Hebrew. So ask the Mefarshim, why don't the Rabbanan agree with Rabbi Yehuda? So Mefarshim answer, because according to Rabbanan, if the Torah had used the word kocha, then I would say it means specifically in this language. But according to Rabbanan, the word koi itself doesn't limit us that it has to be specifically b'loshan HaKadosh. Now Tosfos asks the Rabbanan to say that we learn Birkas Kohanim from the brachos on Hagrizim and Har Evel. So just like there it had to be b'loshan HaKadosh, here too by Birkas Kohanim has to be b'loshan HaKadosh. Ask Tosfos, why don't we learn from Birkas HaMazon? Birkas HaMazon, we learn, could be b'kol lashon. So why do we prefer to compare Birkas Kohanim to the brachos on Hagrizim and Har Evel rather than comparing it to Birkas HaMazon? So a number of answers are given. One answer is, Birkas Kohanim, the Torah gives us the specific nusach. The brachos on Hagrizim and Har Evel, the Torah gives us the specific nusach. Birkas HaMazon, the Torah doesn't say what you have to say. Therefore, Birkas Kohanim is more similar to Hagrizim and Har Evel than to Birkas HaMazon. Another answer, very simple answer. Birkas Kohanim, the Kohanim are speaking to the Yisraelim. The brachos on Hagrizim and Har Evel, they were speaking to the audience. Birkas HaMazon was speaking to Hashem. We're thanking Hashem. So that's why Birkas Kohanim are more similar to brachos of Hagrizim and Har Evel versus to Birkas HaMazon. Another answer is, as we learn the halachas of Birkas Kohanim, we'll see that there are a number of halachas by Birkas Kohanim where Birkas Kohanim have similar dinim as the brachos Hagrizim Har Evel. It has to be b'kol rom. They have to say it with a loud voice. It has to be said b'amida. These are all the halachas that we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem. So since they have all these other common dinim, it makes more sense to say the Birkas Kohanim are like Hagrizim Har Evel. Continues the Gemara. Tanya Idach. Kosev Archu. And before we go further, we're going to have the Ezer Hashem Yisbarach, a number of braises that begin with the words Kosev Archu, and then teach us a din. Explains the Yad Shol. We shouldn't make the error of believing that every one of these halakas that we're going to learn today, we learn from the words Kosev Archu. We can't learn so many different rules from the same word. What is the braises that we learn, going to learn, mean when they begin with the words Kosev Archu? What the braises mean to say is an introductory remark. This is the way Birkas Kohanim has to be done. But not specifically that every din we're learning, we learn from the words Kosev Archu. So here, you teach us, Bamida. The Birkas Kohanim has to be done standing. At the Oim Bamida, Oyen Elafil B'Yeshiva, perhaps Birkas Kohanim can be done even sitting. Nemekan, it says regarding Birkas Kohanim, Kosev Archu. V'nema lahalim regarding Hagrizim ha'evil, Eilu liyamdu levarech, Ma lahalim b'amida, just like Birkas Kohanim has to be done, just like Hagrizim ha'evil have to be done b'amida, Afkan b'amida. Which is indeed the halacha. The halacha is that the Kohanim have to stand by Birkas Kohanim. And a Kohen who can't stand should leave before. What about the Yisraelim? So the Mishnah Berurah says that Yisraelim, out of respect, the Gemara here is not speaking about the Yisraelim, but the Paiskim, the Mishnah Berurah say, out of respect, the Yisraelim should also stand by Birkas Kohanim. But however, say the Paiskim, since the entire halacha of Yisraelim standing by Birkas Kohanim is only as a chumrah, therefore says the Paiskim, when we say in Chazor Sashatz, when we don't have Birkas Kohanim, we just say Elokeinu Melech Avoseinu here in Chutz La'aretz, for example, since the entire din of standing of Yisraelim is not Ikra Din, certainly you don't have to stand for Elokeinu Melech Avoseinu unless you stand anyway for Chazor Sashatz. Reb Nosson gives a different reason how we know that Birkas Kohanim has to be done standing. Enot Tzorach. Harei Oimer, because the Pasuk says, L'sharsoi ulevarach b'shmoi. Mamisharis, just like when the avodah was done, it had to be done by midah, af bevarich, so too Birkas Kohanim has to be done by Midah. Ask the Gemara or Mishoros Gufim Nolan, how do we know that avoida has to be done standing? The Ksiv La'amoid L'Sharis. So the Pais can say, since we see that the Gemara is comparing Birkas Kohanim to avoida, they extrapolate a number of halachas. One halacha is just like we know that the avoida cannot be done at night, so too Birkas Kohanim cannot be sent at night. It's very relevant in Eretz Yisrael when they say Birkas Kohanim by every tefillah, Nila on Yom Kippur, they have to make sure to get to Birkas Kohanim before it's night. Another interesting machlokes rishonim based on this Gemara is the halacha is as follows. If a kohen was mishtamid, he shmat himself, he becomes permanently disqualified to do the avoida. What would be the halacha if a kohen was mishamin himself, is he allowed to do, and he does tshuva, is he allowed to do Birkas Kohanim? The Rambam suggests that he's not allowed to. Why? Because just like he's disqualified from the Avoida, he's disqualified from Birkas Kohanim. There's a Tosfos that quotes a Sefer HaZohir that says that he is not disqualified because the explanation is that he's no worse than a Baal Mum. And just like a Baal Mum could do Birkas Kohanim, so too can this individual do Birkas Kohanim. The Mefarshim asked, why does our Gemara need two psukim to compare the Avoida to Birkas Kohanim? We have L'shar Soy Ula Varak B'shmoy, and it says Lamra L'shar. So why do we need two psukim? So Mefarshim answer, if I only had the first pasuk, I would think that only Birkas Kohanim that's done in the base of Migdosh, that's where the halacha is one has to stand. How do we know that even Birkas Kohanim that's done outside the base of Migdosh one has to stand? That's why the Gemara has to bring another pasuk. Another answer is that that pasuk is referring not specifically to the avoida. It's referring to the avoida of the Levium when they sing and when they carry the Mishkan. How do we know that the Kohanim have to stand by the avoida? That's why we have the pasuk Lamed L'Sharis. Tanya Idach Kois Varchu B'Nesias Kapayim. The Nesias Kapayim has to be hands with the palm down. And Mefarshim point out, because if you could do it the other way, it wouldn't be called Nesias Kapayim, it would be called Nesias Yodayim. The fact that it's called Nesias Kapayim means with the palm down. At the Omer, Nesias Kapayim, or Eino Elishloim, Nesias Kapayim, even without Nesias Kapayim, answers the Gemara, Nemekan Koisavarchu, Benemela Halon, V'yisa Aranis Yodav Al-Om V'yivarchem, Mala Halon, the pasuk clearly says that it was done by Nesias Kapayim. Af Kan, it must be done by Nesias Kapayim. So asks Rabbi Yonason, Kashle Rabbi Yonason, if we're learning such a Gzeirah Shavah, why don't we go all the way? In Mala Halon, the halacha was that who did the Nesias Kapayim? It was a Kohen Gadol, it was on Rosh Chodesh, and it was an Avodas Tzibur. I should learn too that Af Kan, Nesias Kapayim should have to be done by Kohen Gadol on Rosh Chodesh and Avodas Tzibur. Any other way would not be acceptable. Answers the Gemara, Brasan Oimer in Tzarech. This question is not a problem. Because Hareu Oimer, Hu Uvanov Kalayomim. The pasuk continues to teach us Hu Uvanov Kalayomim. Ma Kishbonov Loi. Ma Hu Ben Nesias Kapayim. To teach us just like Aaron did Nesias Kapayim. Af Bonov Nesias Kapayim, so too should his children, when they do Birkas Kohanim, do it with Nesias Kapayim. And the pasuk says, V'ksiv kol hayomim, forever. It wasn't only limited for that time. V'iskus bracha l'sheiris. And then we compare bracha l'sheiris that has to be done standing. V'tanya idach, another braisa that teaches us halachas about Birkas Kohanim. Koy savorchas b'nei Yisrael, v'shem ha-mefayrish. You have to say the Shem HaMefayrish when you make Birkas Kohanim. When the Kohanim say Birkas Kohanim. Ata Oimer B'Shem HaMefayrish, Oyeinu L'Bekinui. Perhaps you don't have to say the Shem HaMefayrish. You could say even Adnus. Tamal Loimer, the Sama Shmi, Shmi HaMeyuchadli. It has to be the Shem HaMefayrish. Yochel Af B'Gvulun Kein. So we think that even when Birkas Kohanim is said outside of the base Hamigdash, the Shem HaMefayrish should be used, says the Gemara, Nemakan v'sama shmi, v'nam l'halon n'losim eshmoy shom, ma l'halon beis ha-bechira, it's specifically limited to beis ha-bechira, afkan, it's specifically limited to the beis ha-bechira, where the Shem HaMefayrish is used. Rabbi Yoishi Oimer, Einu Tzarech. We have another way of learning that you have to use the Shem HaMefayrish in the base Hamigdash. Because Hareya Oimer, the pasuk says, "B'chol amokam esh'eskas shmi Ova elecha. Kamokai, everywhere, sakadaitach al mikrozem mesurusu. This is the way to understand the pasuk. Become mokim she'ava alecha v'rachticha. Wherever I come to bless you, shom asker shmi. There you have to mention the shame of mefarish. V'heichen avoy, where will I come to do this? V'heichen ava alecha v'rachticha. Where will HaKadosh Baruch Hu come to bless us? The base as bechira, and shom asker shmi base bechira. In the base of bechira, you have to mention the shame hamefarish. You have to mention the shame of mefarish. So what is the nafgamina? Explain the Mefarshim between these two approaches and how we understand that in the Beis HaMikdash they had to use the Shem of Mefarish. So Mefarshim say a very big nafkamina. According to the first pshat, it's a din of Nesias Kapayim. Nesias Kapayim has to be done with the Shem of Mefarish. But according to the second pshat, it's not limited to Nesias Kapayim. The pasuk is teaching us that any time we mention Hashem's name outside the Beis HaMikdash, where there's a Gilui Shechina, anytime we mention Hashem's name in the Beis HaMikdash, since there's a Gilui Shechina in the Beis HaMikdash, we have to say the Shem HaMefarish. But we have a Gevaldige Kasha. The Gemara says, Masechta Yuma, that after Shimon HaTzadik passed away, they stopped using the Shem HaMefarish. Our Gemara says that you're supposed to use the Shem HaMefarish in the Beis HaMikdash, so how could they just stop? So I saw a number of answers. One answer is that they followed the opinion of Rabbi Yoshia. Rabbi Yoshia says that you use the Shem HaMefarish when there's Gilui Shechina. After Shimon HaTzadik passed away, the Gilui Shechina diminished, and therefore they no longer use the Shem HaMefarish. That's one teretz. Another teretz goes back to something that we discussed in the Mishnah. There is Rishonim that suggest that even though the Gemara is teaching us that the Shem HaMefarish is used in the Beis HaMikdash, it means it's allowed to be used, but not that you're obligated to use it. And after Shimon HaTzadik was nifter, they stopped using the Shem HaMefarish. A third teretz I saw is when the Gemara says in Masechta Yuma that they stopped using the Shem HaMefarish, what the Gemara means to say is we know there are different levels of the Shem HaMefarish. There's one Shem HaMefarish that's made up of 42 letters, there's a Shem HaMefarish that's made up of 12 letters, and then there's the Yud Kei Vav Kei. What the Gemara means is that they stopped using the name of 42 letters, the name of 12 letters. But even after Shimon HaTzadik was Nifter, they know that our Gemara says you have to use the Shem HaMefarish of Yud Kei Vav Kei. Tanya Idach, Kos Vorchus Bnei Yisrael, Einli El Bnei Yisrael. We only know that men are the subject of the Birkus Kahanim. Noshim V'Avodim Shechror Menayim, that they too are the subject of the Birkus Kahanim. Tameloimer Emelohem, all Jews are included. Lekula. Tanya Idach, Kos Varchu, Panim Keneged Panim. We should face the Kohanim when we take Birkus Kohanim. And this, the Ritva says, is the Raya that Birkus Kohanim is a mitzvah of the Yisraelim. Because the Pasuk is saying that the Yisraelim, not only must the Yisraelim face the Kohanim, but not only must the Kohanim face the Yisraelim, but even the Yisraelim have the obligation to make themselves seen to the Kohanim to receive and be Mekayim the mitzvah. At the Oimer Panim Keneged Panim. Is it only that way? Who says that they have to face Klai? So maybe it's enough that they walk up to the Duchen. When you speak to me, you face me. Tanya Idach, Koy Savarchu, how is Birkus Kohanim done? Bekol Rom. Perhaps even if you do it quietly. Like I speak to you, I have to speak to you in an audible sound. And the Mishnah Berurah says that indeed, if a person doesn't have the ability to speak loudly, he may be disqualified from Birkus Kohanim. But the Pais can make a number of observations. Number one, when the Gemara says "Kol Rom," it doesn't mean that you have to scream, because the Gemara says "Ka'adam ha'ayim l'chaveroi," like I speak to you. When I speak to you, I don't necessarily scream. I speak to you that you should be able to hear me. The Tzitz Eliezer says another vart. He says there's a difference how Birkus Kohanim is being conducted. He says, if there's only one Kohen doing Birkus Kohanim, so then that one Kohen that speaks has to speak loud enough that everybody should hear him. But let's say you have a large group of Kohanim. So you don't in any way hear any one specific Kohen. His voice melds with all the other Kohanim, and there he doesn't have to do it the Kol Ram. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz says, based on this Gemara, Pashto Zach, you can't be Mekayim Birkus Kohanim by writing. Because the Gemara is teaching us it has to be specifically the Kol Rom speaking. But then I saw the Beis Halevi. The Beis Halevi, we'll say the Beis Halevi this way. Apparently, they found that in the community of Trieste in Italy, an ancient Jewish community, Birkus Kahanim, one Kohen did Birkus Kahanim for the entire, for all the Kohanim, because of Shomei Ka'ayna. And the Beis Halevi says, you can't do Shomei Ka'ayna by Birkus Kahanim. Because even though throughout Halacha there's a concept of Shomei Ka'ayna, where I say, and I might see everyone else, here, since the Gemara teaches us that it has to be done the Kol Rom is only, you can't do Kol Rom on my behalf. Chazanish disagrees with Beis Halevi, and Chazanish says that included in Shomei Ka'ayna is included all, that whatever you need to do, I'm doing on your behalf. And he says you can do Birkus Kahanim with Shomei Ka'ayna. And he has very nice rayas. One raya he has is Kriyas Megillah. Kriyas Megillah also has to be called Rom. And certainly the halacha is that one Bal Kairi reads for the whole Tzibur. Another raya, he says, is Kiddush. Kiddush is the classical case where we have Shomei Ka'ayna, when one person makes Kiddush for a whole group. Now, when one person makes Kiddush for a whole group, the halacha is that when you make Kiddush, you have to hold a cup of wine. So you can't do Shomei Ka'ayna for me with holding the cup of wine. So we see, says the Chazonish, that Shomei Ka'ayna has a much broader application than the Beis Halevi's understanding. Amar Abaye, Naktinim, L'shnayim, if there are two Kahanim, we call out Kohanim before Birkus Kohanim. Le'echod, if there's only one Kohen, ain't a Kohen Kohen, we don't call out the word Kohen. Shnema emolahem, there has to be at least two. It's machlokes rishonim how to understand this Gemara. Rashi explains that this Gemara is referring to the Chazan. That the Chazan, before we get to Birkus Kohanim, calls out, according to our Gemara, if there's at least two Kohanim, the word Kohanim, Tosfos, Rabbi Natan disagrees. He says, how could you have a Chazan calling out the word Kohanim? It's a hefsik in the tefillah. Because of this machloikus of Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, our minig is, even when we do Birkus Kohanim, the Baal tefillah says, Elokeinu v'Elokei v'Aseinu. So it's not really a hefsik. It's part of the nusach tefillah, and then he just says the word Kohanim louder. V'am Rav Chisda, Naktinon. The rule is, Kohen. When a Kohen, who should be the one to call out the word Kohanim? A Kohen, Kohen Kohanim. Then Yisrael, Kair Kahanim. But Yisrael does not call out the word Kahanim. Shenemar Emolahem, Amir Mishalhem. One of the Kahanim should be the individual that calls out the word Kahanim. Mishalhem Tahei. Vilchasa, the Aloch is Kavasei Dabaya. That only if there is more than one Kayin do we say Kahanim. However, less Vilchasa Kavasei Dar of Chizda, where if Chizda says it has to be specifically a Kayin, the Aloch is it doesn't have to be specifically a Kayin. However, there's Machlokes Rishonim. Some Rishonim say it doesn't have to be specifically a Kohen, but it may be a Kohen as much as anyone else. Many Paiskim say, many Rishonim already say, that not only is the Halacha not like Rav Chisda, that it doesn't have to be a Kohen, it's not allowed to be a Kohen, because the Kohen is preparing himself to do Birkus Kahanim, so he shouldn't be one announcing the word Kahanim. The Paiskim and Farshim also point out that there's a very big nafkamina if there is more than one Kohen or not. Why? We would think that if there's if there's only one Kohen, there's no mitzvah say, because we're not calling him up to the Duchen. Others say just the opposite. When we have Kohanim, when we have many Kohanim, so unless we say Kohanim, nobody's over the mitzvah. When there's no plurality of Kohanim, when there's only one Kohen, so we're not announcing that he should come up to the Duchen, and therefore, even if he doesn't come up to the Duchen, if he doesn't go, he's over the mitzvah say. Simim misavel lebracha duchen b'avoy de kois mak and nene b'agola. Amr Yishub and Levi. Menayin shakadosh baruch hu misavel lebrikus kahanim. From where do we know that kadosh baruch hu wants kahanim to say brikus kahanim? Shem shomu shmiya b'nei Yisrael. I want my name placed on klais of ani avarchim. So Mefarshim ask, kadosh baruch hu needs brikus kahanim. How do we understand this? So the Maral explains, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a special hanoh. Baruch Hu has a special hanoh when we, his children, are blessed. So that's why Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to see Birkus Kahanim take place in order that we should be able to receive the bracha. Others say, Birkus Kahanim is what connects us with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to see Klal Yisrael connected to him, and that's why he's Mesaver LeBirkas Kahanim. V'amar Rav Shur ben Levi, Kol Kain Shemavarech, any kind that blesses Klal Yisrael, Mizbarech, is blessed. V'she'en Mavarech, if he doesn't participate, Ein Mizbarech. Shnei Mavarech Mavarechecha. I saw a machloikis, how far do we take this? Some Rishonim say that if a Kayin doesn't take the opportunity to make Birkas Kayinim, he doesn't have the opportunity of being blessed. Others say that a Kayin who has the opportunity to bless Klal Yisrael and doesn't take that opportunity, Miskatsum lo Yom Vishnoisov. He had an opportunity to bless Klal Yisrael and he didn't take advantage of that opportunity, his days are diminished. V'amar Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Kol Kayin sh'ayna oyla l'duchin, if a Kayin doesn't go up to the duchin when he's called, oyla v'shloisha essay, Kay Savarchu, em alahem, v'samashmi. So there's a number of pshatim in the Rishonim how to understand this. Some Rishonim learn the Gemara very simply, that if a Kayin, that there are three mitzvahs essay involved in Birkas Kahanim, and a Kayin who doesn't go up when he's called, is over those three mitzvahs asay. That's the Torah. The Prima Gadim makes the following distinction. He says, sometimes the Kayin is called up. If he's called up and doesn't go up, he's over three mitzvahs asay. If he doesn't go up because he wasn't called up, so then he's over one laugh of Kay Savarchu, but he's not over Emelhem V'samashmi. The Rambam, who, this is the sheet of the Rambam throughout Shas, says that when we have the same mitzvah, the exact same mitzvah repeated, it's always counted only as one mitzvah. And therefore, according to the Rambam, even though the Gemara says he's over b'shlesha essay, it's really only one essay, because since these three mitzvahs are identical, they're all counted only as one mitzvah essay. What's the nafkamina between the opinion of the Rambam and the opinion of the Torah? Very nice nafkamina. Let's say somebody has two mitzvahs. He has the mitzvah, a Kayin has the opportunity to do Birkas Kahanim or do another mitzvah. So according to the Torah, he should certainly do Birkas Kahanim. That involves three mitzvahs. This is only one mitzvah. Let's say he has to do a Shabbos Aveda. But according to the Rambam, where even Birkas Kahanim is only one mitzvah, so it's one mitzvah versus one mitzvah, and maybe he could do the other mitzvah, he doesn't have to do Birkas Kahanim. Rav Omer, Rav says that if a Kayin refuses to go up for Birkas Kahanim, Chosh Shem Ben Grush Ben Chalutza. We're concerned that he's a disqualified Kayin, and that's why he didn't go up for Birkas Kahanim. Says the Gemara V'loi Pligi, there really is no Machloikis. Hada Salak Leprakim, Hada Loi Salak Leprakim. If the Kayin goes up sometimes, so then we're not concerned that he's a Ben Grush Ben Chalutza. Because if he was a Ben Grush Chalutza, he would never go up. But the mitzvahs say, every time he neglects to go up, he's over. So what's Pshat going up Leprakim? Most Rishonim say Leprakim means that he doesn't go up. He goes up to Duchenim, but not every time. How often is considered Leprakim? So some Rishonim say, the Miri says, he has to, this is a place where they do Duchenim every day, once every 30 days. Other Rishonim say that he goes do Birkas Kahanim every Yontif. Taisus says it has nothing to do with Duchenim. If this Kayin shows that he's a Kayin, in other ways, he takes trumas, he takes maisris. That is already evidence that he's not a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. And even if he never duchens, there is no problem of chayshin that he's a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza because he showed that he's not in other ways. The pasuk says, continues the Gemara, Rami Shuban Levi, Kol Kayin she'en oil ba'avoida. If the Kayin doesn't go up to the duchen by ritzei, shuva ana oila. Shenema, v'yisa arnes yodav ela'om, v'yivorchem, v'yeyed masois achatis va'oilu v'ashlomim. Ma lahalon, ba'avoida, he did the ba'avoida, it's while he's doing it, and as Mefarshim explained, what must have happened is, while he was doing the avoida, he stopped, and then he did Birkas Kahanim, afkan ba'avoida. Here, we can't do Birkas Kahanim in the middle of the avoida, because you have to finish the avoida, but you have to start preparing yourself. How do you start preparing himself? But a Kahanim going up to do to the duchen by ritzei. Ask the Gemara Eini. V'Rav Amir of Asi Salki. Rav Amir of Asi did not go up. Rav Amir of Asi Mikri Havikarayu. They began moving their legs in that direction by ritzei. Mimtu lehava mata hasim. They just didn't arrive there. So what the Gemara is saying here is that you don't have to be there by Ritzei, but you have to start walking towards the duchen, towards the platform by Ritzei. G'tani Reb Oishia loy shana l'shloi okas raglov. Aval okas raglov oila. As soon as, if you started approaching the duchen, then you are satisfactory. So there's a number of machloikas apoiskim here. What will be the halacha? This is the most common shaila. We know, as we're going to learn, that the kahanim, before they duchen, have to wash their hands. So obviously, somebody's moving from his seat to the sink to wash his hands, to ultimately go up to the duchen. Is going towards the sink already considered okaraglov? Is that considered okaraglov or not? It's machloikus poiskim. Most poiskim hold that it's not considered okaraglov. You have to be going towards the duchen, not towards the sink. Another shaila the poiskim discuss. What would be the halacha if somebody came from outside straight to shul, and he's a kohen, and they're up to ritzei, and he goes straight up to duchen? Is that considered okar raglav? Because he didn't make a special movement towards the duchen. He was walking into shul. So the Paiskim say, if this person, as he was entering the shul, knew that he's coming to duchening, so that's considered okar raglav. But if he didn't know that he was coming to shul for duchening, just because he entered the shul, is not considered okar raglav. Okar raglav. Also the halacha is that l'chatchila okar raglav should take place at the beginning of ritzei, not later on, once the Baal Tefillah began Ritzei. And that's why the Baal Tefillah has to know that if they see that the Kohanim can't start Okar Raglav towards the Duchen by Ritzei, they didn't finish washing their hands, let's say there's a lot of Kohanim, he has to wait. But the halacha also is that if a Kohen was not Okar Raglav, he could still do Birkus Kohanim anyway. But the evidence, if he went up, we don't make him go down. We learned in the Mishnah. Let's say we have a kohen who's the Baal Tefillah. So now we have a concern. Should he be Baal Tefillah? Or maybe by being the Baal Tefillah and by doing Birkus Kohanim, then he has to go right back to Chazar Sashatz, he'll get confused. Then the Baal Tefillah is allowed to do Birkus Kohanim. But the question is, if the halach is that Akiris Reglayim is a critical component in Birkus Kohanim, so how does the Baal Tefillah do Akiris Reglayim? He has to stand in a spot. Ella, the Nad Perta. Must be that just moving yourself a little is adequate. And the halacha we hold nowadays is, even though the Gemara, the Mishnah says in Masechta Brachos, it depends if the Baal Tefillah feels that he's comfortable in being able to go back or not. That's the trouble, if he should do Birkus Kohanim or not, if he's a Kohen. Our meaning is that since the Baal Tefillah davened from a Siddur, so we're not concerned that he's going to get confused, and the Baal Tefillah always, even if the Kohanim, participate in Birkus Kohanim. However, he should not be the one announcing Yivarecha Hashem, Yishmerecha. If the Kohen is a Baal Tefillah, someone else should announce those words. We only give a kosher bracha to someone who's a person who's generous. Who's the one that should lead Zimun? Who's the one that should make the bracha? Someone who is a generous person. Why is someone who's a generous person the one to make the bracha? Because he forgives, and therefore his bracha is a real bracha. So Mefarshim explained, it's interesting. This halacha is not brought in Shulchan Aruch. The only place we find this halacha in Shulchan Aruch is the Ramah says that by the Seder, the Balabayas should be the one to lead Zimun. So what's Pshat? So Mefarshim explained, we really never sure if a person is really that generous that he should be the one to lead Zimun. When it comes Pesach by night, as we know, we begin the Seder. And how do we begin to say the word Holach Ma'anya? Kol Dich V'Yes V'Yechel. So we see a clear sign of generosity. And therefore, then the Ramah says, we know that this Baal Bayis is generous and he should be the one to lead Zimun. How does this get into our Gemara? So I saw a beautiful Pshat. And it's Negei La'aloch L'mais. The Pshat is, who are the most generous people? Who are the people that want to see everybody blessed? Nobody is more generous than a Kohen. Nobody wants to see Klal Yisrael blessed more than a kohen. Why? Because who do the Kohanim live off? They live off Klal Yisrael. They live off Klal Yisrael. So the more Klal Yisrael has, the more Trumas, the Maestros, the Matnas Kuna they'll have. That's why Kahanim are the ones that were designated to give the Bracha, because they are in the category of Toiv Ayin, which helps us understand our minik here in Chutz Laretz. We know the minik here in Chutz Laretz is that we don't do Birkas Kahanim every day. And the question is why? So some say because Birkas Kahanim, the minig is, should be done before, you should have to go to the mikveh before you do Birkas Kahanim, and it's hard to make all Kahanim go to the mikveh every day. Another reason I saw is that really the Kahanim, especially in Chutz Laretz, are not Kahanim Yuchasim, so we really don't know if they're allowed to or should be doing Birkas Kahanim, so that's why we don't want to make Birkas Kahanim more often than necessary, but just not to forget Birkas Kahanim, we only do it on Yontif. But the reason that most Paiskim give the Chassam Sofer says this, and many, many Paiskim say it, because we here in Chutz Laretz and Golus don't have an easy life necessarily. And a person who's not besimcha, a person who's not betoiv ayin, a person who has a lot of different things on his head, he's not the person that should be doing Birkas Kahanim. Because the Pasuk says here, we just learned, toiv ayin hu yivarech. And we're all familiar with different times in history where different people wanted to institute Birkas Kahanim in Chutz Laretz. The Gra, the story goes, wanted to institute Birkas Kahanim every day in Vilna, and that day he was sentenced to jail. Reb Chaim Volozhiner wanted to start Birkas Kahanim in Volozhin, and the story goes that half the city burned down. It's obvious that Chutz Laretz, the meaning is not to do, at least by Ashkenazic Jews, not to do Birkas Kahanim every day. Rami Vishuban Levi, Menayin, Shafila Oifis Makirim Bitsari Ayin. How do we know that even birds recognize someone who's stingy? Shnemaki Chinam Mizora Reshus Be'ene Kol B'nai Balkonov. The birds realize who is the person that's stingy from his net. So the question is, why birds? So Zom Pshat is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created that birds should be the ones that recognize who is stingy. Why? Because birds fly next to the Shemayim. So they know what's going on in Shemayim. They know who's the, that's the way the morale explains. Another explanation I saw, very simple explanation, is that the Gemara, we know that if, what does Tsaras come from? Tsaras comes from somebody being a Tsar Ayim, being stingy. When somebody's a Mitzayri, he has to bring birds as part of his carbon, as we learned in Masech the Nazir. So that's why the birds are most sensitive. Another pshat is, when net are put out with food, so the birds could tell who's generous and gives a lot of food to catch the birds and who's not. Another pshat, we'll stop with this pshat, is before they put out the nets, how do they get the birds to come to where the nets are? They always put food in that area. But a stingy person won't put out food if there's no net. So the birds can recognize who is stingy. Anyone who has no from somebody who's stingy, oiv belav. Shenemar al tichem es lechem ra'ayin. Don't take bread from someone who's stingy. Ki k'moy shah nafshay kenu ochav eshay tsuyay melach. He says eat and drink, but he doesn't mean it. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Omer oy b'shnei lavim al tichem v'al tisav. Don't take bread and don't even ask him. Why? Because even asking him causes him anguish. V'amar Yishuv ben Levi ein egla rufa ba el b'shvil tzorei ayin. Why? What's the story of Egla Rufa? Somebody was found dead, a corpse was found, and we don't know who killed him. It only comes because people are stingy. How do we know? Because the Pasuk says, what did the Ziknei ears say? So the question is, Rashi quotes this in Chumash, the Ziknei Bezdin say, we didn't murder him. Was there ever a question that they murdered him? Ella, what they say was, we didn't let him come to our hands. What does that mean? We didn't send him away without giving him what to eat. We always escort him out of town. And as Mefarshim explained, what they were saying was, we always gave somebody to eat, but we don't know if everybody else in our city gave him to eat. The morale says a very deep shot. The morale says a shot like this. If we knew that anybody that's traveling on the road will always find somebody to give them something to eat, we wouldn't have to worry. Because we know that people that don't give always to everybody else, that's why we could end up with problems. Amar of Shmuloi, Basic Knesset Shkula Kahanim, if you have a Basic Knesset that's full of Kahanim, Kula Oilon Meduchim, they all should go up. So the question is, Lamim Mevarchim, who will they say the bracha to? Amar of Zera, Le'achen shebesodes. They mean the people not in shul. Ask the Gemara, Eini v'tana Abba Breid Rav Binyamin b'chiyo, Am shachuri kahanim, people not in shul, Eina b'chlal brocha. So the Gemara lo kasha. Hada nisi, hada lo nisi. If you didn't come to shul, because you didn't want to come to shul, then you're not in the category of Birkas Kahanim. If you didn't come because you were an Einis, you're potter. So there's very bechidish in the Bach. The Bach says, let's say you have a seat in shul, which is behind the duchen. It's considered that you're honest, that you're in a seat behind, and you don't have to move out of your seat for Birkas Kahanim. Mogen Avraham, Mishneh Berurah disagree. They say, like we've been learning, get up and move in front of the Kahanim. So Moshe says, somebody who's an oinus, who's considered in the category of an oinus? So Moshe says you have to have two conditions. One is you have to be from that city. You can't say I'm from a different city and the Birkas Kahanim should work for me. And another condition, Ramosha says, is it has to be a person that if he didn't have the oinus, would have come to shul. It's not that he wouldn't have come, and now he says he's an oinus. But I saw a very bechidish for Ramosha Sternbruch, the Chuvas and Haggis. He was living in South Africa, and there they don't do Birkas Kahanim every day. He said that he's in the category of oinus, that he can't have Birkas Kahanim every day. He's living in Chutz Laretz, and he says he paid Kohanim, two Kohanim in Eretz Yisrael, every day who should have him in mind for Birkas Kahanim, because he's in the category of an oinus, and oinus works even if you're not in the same city, you could be in the category of Birkas Kahanim. Frek asked the Gemara, V'tani Rav Sima Beritah Deshkirim, Basic Nesesh Kula Kahanim, Mektsasim Oilim, Mektsasim Oina Oimen, not everybody goes up to the Duchen. So the Gemara Loikasha, Hadishtai Beis Sara, if you're going to have 10 Kohanim, besides the one going up to the Duchen, then you leave 10. Ha, the Laish Tai Beis Sara, then they should all go up. Gufa, Tana Abba Berei De Minyam Min Bachia, Am Shachuri Kahanim, Ein Bechlal Bracha. The people not in Shul aren't in the Kehlur in the Bracha. Says the Gemara, Pshiti, Arichi Be'api Gutsi, if you have tall people blocking short people, Loi Mavski. Teva, if you have in the Shul a Bima or Amid, Loi Mavsika. Mechitza Mai, what happens if people are standing behind the Mechitza? Are they included in the Berakas Kahanim or not? Toshma, Domer, Mishu, Ben Levi, Afila, Mechitza, Shabazel, Eina, Mafsekas, Ben Yisrael, Laviyim, Shabashamayim.